welcome you this morning to the house of the Lord. We're going to commence our service. The Lord's our rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Let's stand, please, as we worship. This is an appropriate hymn to start with today, as we are recognizing Remembrance Day, Lord's Day today. It's a time of reflection, a time to be settled in your mind and thinking about the blessings that we have in our land. And when we come to Remembrance Day, we consider what it meant for people who left their homes and their families very young age. Many teenage boys signed up, went off to war, never came home. In just about every town, as you travel through southern Ontario, you will find a cenotaph. It might be small. Some of them only have a dozen or so names. But those names represent people who left their families, and mums and dads said goodbye to their sons, never to see them again. A great sacrifice, a great cost. And it's good for us in the days of our enjoyment, in the days of our freedom, to take moments to remember. Because of the restrictions last year and this year on November the 11th, well, we were not and will not be able to have a Remembrance Day service in our school and church that we have normally had. And so today is an opportunity for us. Let's be thankful and remember that our God is our help in ages past. He is our shelter in every time of storm. And the storm of war, which many of us here in this church have not been through, some of the older senior members have been, and you know the horrors of it. But I pray that God will teach us not to forget. He will help us to remember. And so, for those of you who are able, I'm going to ask you to stand now as we hear the music being played and then have a moment's silence and then listen to the last post. Please stand. Be seated. Father, we are thankful today for an opportunity in silent reflection and remembering, Lord, your great mercy, kindness to us, the God of heaven and earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. And Lord, as we begin this Lord's Day morning service, we begin, Lord, with thoughts of thankfulness and praise, thoughts of worship to our God, thoughts of remembrance and thanksgiving for the sacrifice that many have made that we do not even know. Lord, I pray that we will not be forgetful. We'll not be filled with selfishness and neglect, but to lift our praise and our worship to you, our Father in heaven. Lord, I pray that today as we enter in to worship and we lift our song from our hearts and our prayers in open words and in the silence of the heart, Lord, hear our prayers. How thankful we are that we come in the name of our blessed Lord and Savior. We're thankful, Lord, that we stand upon redemption ground. We're thankful for the rock of our salvation, for the shelter that our Lord is in the time of storm. And I pray that as we go through our life earth journey, that Father, we would walk each day with our eyes fastened by faith upon our Savior. That as pilgrims bound for the heavenly land, we will never lose sight of Jesus. Lord, help us in the times of our weakness, when our knees are feeble and our legs have no strength, and spiritually we are ready to fall over. Father, strengthen us, we pray. Lift us up, keep us going. We want, Father, to be faithful unto the end of our time and purpose. We want to complete your will for us in our lives. Save us, I pray, Lord, from shipwreck. Save us from disaster, moral disaster. Save us from failing to fulfill your perfect will. Lord, hear our prayer today. We know that there are many hurting families in the congregation and connected to us, and we pray for them, Lord. We ask for your hand to be upon Kum Chuk Chung in his loss at this time. We pray that you would be with him and comfort him, even though he is not completely aware of all that's going on around him. Bless the rest of their family in the loss of Florence. Our Father, we pray for Rebecca Chandler. We're thankful for the good development that there has been in her health improvement. And Father, we pray that you would speak to her heart spiritually. We pray for our brother Ron today, that you would encourage him and help him. We think of our sister Serene. We pray for Kamla today. Lord, you would have mercy upon her and help her. Remember many others, Father, we might not have their names or details specifically. But how thankful we are, Lord, that you know every detail about our lives, everything that troubles, every trial, every temptation. Lord, I'm asking that we would walk very close to our God and know that even in the times when there are clouds all over and we cannot see the sunshine, yet still we will trust in a sovereign hand, the providential leadings of our loving Father. Lord, you've never forsaken us, and you never will. And we're thankful for that this morning and give praise from our heart. We ask for blessing on our entire service today as we read the Scripture and as we open the Word of God, as we meet around the communion table. Lord, speak with a voice that wakens the dead in soul. Bring souls to Christ, we ask, and build us all up in our most holy faith. Remember our land today. Remember our leaders. Have mercy upon them, Lord. Save them. Keep them from wickedness and evil. Turn their hearts, turn their minds, Lord, away from that which is wrong to do that which is right. Lord, bless us today, we ask. Be near us now. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Let's sing again to the Lord's praise, please. Psalm 18. We will stand. Please turn. We have two readings today. First in Psalm 24, and then 1 Timothy chapter 2. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy, rather, chapter 2. The first 8 verses. I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. We know the Lord will bless His precious word to our hearts this morning as we have read. A warm word of welcome to everyone to our service. We are very, very glad you're here. I want to encourage you and thank you for coming, and those visiting our service online today as well. You'll see by the communion table set that at the conclusion of our service today, we'll meet around the Lord's table to remember His death in His own appointed manner. This is the table of the Lord for His people, and we invite you to fellowship with us if you know Christ as your Savior. We give our sincere condolences to our brother Kumchuck Chung. Some of you will not know him. He has not been able, he and his wife Florence attended the church several years ago, elderly now, and they moved back to Singapore, their home, and our brother and his wife have been living there for the last couple of years. Well, sadly, Florence passed away this past week, and Kumchuck is in a senior's home and was not even, he is suffering from dementia, so he was not even fully aware, from what I understand, about the passing of his dear wife. But do remember, please, the extended family members at this time as they make the arrangements for that funeral. Please keep in prayer Rebecca Chandler. She's making some improvements in the hospital. She's off the ventilator now. It's very positive. And she was not succumbing to COVID, but she had some other respiratory problems, some other health issues. But do continue to remember her in prayer. And also Serene and Leah Simon. We pray for Joan McKercher. We want to remember Carol Conroy. Carol has safely come through the heart bypass surgery and is making some good recovery, and hopefully will be able to be home in another couple of days. So do remember Ray, her husband, and the family members as well. Let's continue to pray for those who are persecuted for the cause of Christ in many different countries in the world today, in the freedom that we enjoy. We want to thank God for it, but to remember and pray that persecution may not be too far away in any situation. So let's ask the Lord to help and strengthen those who are suffering in places now for the Lord. I have a thank you note here from Maud and Winston thanking the congregation. Let me just read it to you. Dear Dr. Saunders, McClellan, and congregation, thank you for your prayers, phone calls, and cards of sympathy after the loss of my dear sister in Northern Ireland last month. Also, we really appreciated your prayers for Winston when he was ill and in the hospital recently. Winston is so thankful that he is feeling so much better now. God is so good. Signed, Winston and Maud. And this verse at the bottom, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's a thank you note from our sister Maud. We continue to remember you, Maud, and Winston as well. Please pass on our love and greetings to him at the same time. Please remember the rest of today, this afternoon, our prayer time at 5:50 downstairs, and the evening service at 6:30. I'll appreciate your prayers today as well, because right after our morning service, I'll be connecting up via Zoom with Cloverdale for their morning service and then their evening service later tonight. So we'd appreciate your prayers that the Lord will bless us in our time meeting with them around the Word of God. This coming Wednesday is our Bible study and prayer time again, and we want to continue in the book of Acts and the will of the Lord. And for those of you who are studying chapters 21 and 22, we will have a quiz for you on Wednesday night as well, so you can make some preparation there. Thursday night, session and board meeting at 6 and 7:30, and that will be via Zoom. And then next Lord's Day, we'll again appreciate very much your ongoing prayers for all the ministry going on here. Remember our Sunday school? It's been going underway now for several weeks, and very happy for the boys and girls that are coming in. Let's pray for them. Pray also for the teachers, and pray the Lord will bring in more families with young ones so that we might have the joy of teaching them in the way of the Lord. We're going to sing again, please, number 712, remaining seated while we sing. And again, the offering plate is on the table as you exit today if you want to leave an offering for the Lord's work. 712. Let's stand for this final verse, and boys and girls, make sure you're singing out the very best you can. Jesus is our shepherd. We were hearing from Reverend Gallagher a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about how the Lord communicated to Peter. And he said to him after he'd risen from the dead, "Peter, I have something to tell you. Feed my lambs, the little ones of the flock." And so as we think about giving the word of God out to the little ones of our flock, let's be praying much to that end. Final verse. Turn, please, in your Bibles now to Exodus chapter 17. context here has to do with the traveling, the journeys of the children of Israel. They had not long been out of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, and the problems, well, they were not far away from them. Chapter 17, verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this, that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smitest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the mount, on the top of the hill, with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were weak, were heavy. They took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomforted Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, Because the Lord hath sworn that the people will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Please bow with me for prayer. Father, we're very thankful for your presence with us so far in our service. We pray now that we'll be settled still, that we will be taught of the Lord. Help me to speak the word of God faithfully and clearly. I pray that there would be encouragement, blessing, help from the word for every believer. And any who are without Christ today, Father, save them, we ask. Hear our prayers now and be with us, for we ask in the Savior's precious name. Amen. I want to share with you today the subject of victory in our spiritual warfare. Victory in our spiritual warfare. We are in a battle for the truth. We are in a battle for the honor of King Jesus. We read in Psalm 24 about who the King of Glory is. He is the Lord of hosts, the King of Glory. Our blessed Savior, the one who has redeemed us by His own precious shed blood, is the one whom we worship today. The very reason why we are gathered this morning. And as we come in His name and on the ground of redemption, we want to praise Him. But you know, as we rejoice for what the Lord has done for us, we dare not forget that every Christian is called to a battle for truth. We are not called for an easy road. We are called to walk the road of righteousness in the pathway and the way of our Lord Jesus. This battle is not a new one. But do you know something? It's new for every generation that lives who are going to follow the Lord. In that sense, it is a battle that you, Christian, must face, that I must face, that every new young believer coming on in the Lord must address this matter. You are in a battle. Don't think that it's going to be an easy road. But we have a problem. Quite frankly, most of us are cowards. Most of us would run instead of fight. Most of us would prefer desertion to duty. It's sad, but too often it's true. What then for the Christian would be a remedy? How would we address the cowardice that we have within our own hearts, spiritually and other ways? Well, friend, I could say to you that we need to know our standing in Christ. We need to know our union with Him. And we need to realize that we are justified in the eyes of a holy God. If you know your standing before a righteous and omnipotent God, it will be of great assistance to you to face your cowardice. As we address this matter today, I want to think about that and think more deeply. And of course, as Christians, we are to be filled with the Spirit of God every day. That's a commandment from the Lord. Be ye filled with the Spirit. Now we know that believing in Christ, we have already been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He abides and lives within the heart of every true Christian. But the Bible also talks about the Christian being filled for service. Having that anointing of the power of God in order to serve Him. And when you think about it, every day that we live, we need to have His Spirit in order to empower us to live for Him. And it doesn't mean you must be in full-time service as a minister or missionary. But do you know that every Christian is in full-time service? Whatever your occupation is, whether you are a mom at home with your children, raising your family, whether you're in a mechanical job or a computer-related industry, software, hardware, whatever that might be. Friends, our lives are on the altar of sacrifice, they are to be, in serving and living the Lord for the Lord. And in that sense, we must be filled with His Spirit in order to fulfill the calling of God. But we are also, as believers, to avoid cowardice, we're to take up the armor of God given to us, so familiar in our readings of Ephesians chapter 6. And as we have the armor of God on by prayer, it will help us to defend against the attacks of the devil, but it will also help us to offend, to be on the attack against evil as well. That twofold calling for the Christian. So the avoiding of cowardice, we must know our standing in the Lord. We must walk each day in the Spirit's power and blessing. We must have on the armor of the Lord. And the fourth thing is that we must persevere in earnest heart prayer and intercession with the Lord. We must walk with God. James Montgomery, in his hymn, wrote, "Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that burns within the breast." Now let's come back for a moment now to what we just read in Exodus 17. How does this link up with what I'm saying to you about our spiritual battle and the victory in it? Israel had not been long out of Egypt. They were thirsty. We're told there was no water for them. Immediately they began murmuring. Now, this murmuring was not a murmuring that says, "Wow, I'm very thirsty. Lord, help us. We're very thirsty here." This was a murmuring that was directly against God's providence and purpose. And instead of coming to the Lord with a prayer, "Lord, supply our need. You just brought us out of Egypt. You just opened the Red Sea for us. You just gave us great deliverance. Surely, Lord, we trust you to give us water now to drink." But that was not the spirit. The spirit was immediately one of complaining against God. And so fierce was the complaint that they had, they were going to stone Moses. Think about it. What they had just seen and witnessed. They were going to stone him. They were going to murder the man of God. God told Moses what to do. "Take the elders, take your rod in your hand, the same one that became the serpent before Pharaoh, the same one that ate up all the serpents of Pharaoh's magicians, the same rod you lifted up when the Red Sea divided, take that rod with you. Don't take any other one. It's that one." And he was commanded to smite the rock. And when that happened, God opened up the fountains of the deep and water gushed out. Moses, though, we are told, gave that place a name. And it wasn't a happy name. It wasn't a name that said anything about how God supplied the need. No, he gave that a name, Massa and Meribah. These were not nice sisters, Massa and Meribah. No, it meant tempting. Tempting God. Strife. They were guilty of the sin of disobeying and of grieving the Holy Spirit of God. But the Lord very graciously and faithfully supplied the need that they had of thousands and thousands of gallons of water. But their trials were not over. In fact, they were just about beginning. From this place in Rephidim where they were, there were issues that arose very quickly, and warfare began. Now, Amalek had come against them. Why would Amalek come against them at this particular time? It's not altogether certain, but a combination of things are likely. It may well have been the issue over water and water rights, because the water that flowed out from the rock was enough to satisfy over 2 million people. That's a lot of water. And so the people who were in the land, the wanderers, the Amalekites who were there, they may well have wanted to get their hands on the right of that water. But there could well have been issues over the land itself and the right of way, not allowing Israel to travel in the position they were going. They may have felt threatened. They wanted to stop them. But you know, there are many very pointed spiritual lessons for us today in this. Many spiritual lessons, because as Amalek came out to fight, it tells us today in the first thing, in the lesson that we learn here, that we have a fierce, powerful enemy that is working for our destruction. A fierce and powerful enemy that is working for our destruction. Look at the first words of verse 8 in our chapter. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Then came Amalek. When exactly did Amalek come? Amalek came right after there had been a great blessing from God. Amalek was right on the doorstep. And it was then that they came. Who were these Amalekites? They were descendants of Esau, who sold his soul for a few beans. You remember the story well. Esau came off from the field, and Jacob was there and had some food, some lentils cooking. And Esau was hungry, hadn't caught anything, and he wanted some food. He was starving. And so he came to Jacob, his brother, and he said, "Feed me." Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright." And so he just bartered it away for a few beans. But that was a very important stepping stone. Because the children of Esau have been devoted enemies of God's people from the days of Esau down to Amalek, the same line. And they have been the enemies of God's people from Haman right down to Herod. They're all part of the same gene pool. The meaning of Amalek is somewhat uncertain, but the definition, a people that licks up, a people that licks up. It's one of the most common definitions given. However, this applied at the first, perhaps to the dominance of the character of the people by their aspirations of victory. The national trait of these people was warlike. And it was fitting. You could imagine seeing a front line of approaching Amalekite soldiers. What would they look like? They would have eyes of steel. They would be unflinching. They would have as much compassion as a great white shark. They were fierce soldiers. And they went forth mercilessly and cut down everything, everyone that was standing in their way. As their armies would conquer people and they moved through the land, People were left wounded, dying. And then they stripped the crops. They stripped all goods. They just came through the land and left it ripped bare. Brothers and sisters, we are today in a spiritual warfare. And when Amalek came against Israel, it was another example on the page of history of Satan's attempt to destroy what God had blessed. This is not a new thing, for it's the same spirit that motivated Cain to kill his brother. It's the battle of the wicked against the righteous, of darkness against light, of error against truth. And the bad news is that the battle is going to rage on until the end of time. It's not going to be over quickly. But what hope do we have? As God's people, the good news is this, that if God be for us, who can be against us? The battle rages against every Christian, determined to obey the Lord and to serve God faithfully. Like, is that your heart, believer, today? Are you saying right now in your soul, Lord, I want to follow you with my soul. I want to serve you with all my heart. I want to give my life for your cause and purpose and for the glory of your name. And as long as you have that sentiment in you, you can be assured of this. Then soon will come Amalek into your life. Why they came at that time to pillage what Israel had, to stop them from advancing further into the land of Canaan through the wilderness at that time, to gain the water? Or was it this, friend? Was it a deep rooted bitterness that had come from generation to generation, back from Esau to where they are now? Amalek, a nation that's going to stand against God's people, against Israel, against Jacob, against the one whom we are told, God said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Ah, friend, today we are in a serious battle. And the reason that this was so serious for them, it was a matter of life and death. You know, it's often the case that when we have experienced some great blessing from the Lord, some way in which He has opened a door you didn't expect to be opened, He has blessed you in a way that you didn't expect to be blessed. The sun has come through the clouds in a way that its sunshine just warmed your face and blessing on your pathway. And you say, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. And for that specific blessing, you've honored your servant. Then, beware. Because just around that corner, just around the next step in your desert journey, be ready, friend, be on your guard. Don't be surprised when a sudden attack comes. Be ready. You know, a compromised or backslidden or a prayerless Christian is really no threat to the devil. And for the most part, those type of believers are sort of left alone. They're just drifting down the river. The question comes, though, to us today, doesn't it? What type of Christian are we? Are we one that would give the devil any trouble? Are we the one the devil would be concerned about taking aim against us in our life? Are we the one who it would be said, then came Amalek to that believer, to that Christian, to that man of God? Amalek may be defined by every demonic force that opposes God and His people. But most of those, my friends, would be considered outside attacks. We talk about that in a church setting sometimes, when there is an attack against the church of God, against the people of God from an outside force. We look upon that as one of the devil's ploys, his attempts. That's one of the way Amalek comes against us. But the other problem is when Amalek comes on the inside of the church and there's some kind of friction that develops between a brother or sister, some animosity, some jealousy. Oh, it's there, friend. It can be there. And every one of us must be on our guard. We must be watching. The Lord has blessed us. There is no doubt about that. But let's be always on our guard, not to allow the devil to make use of us to cause disturbance or disruption in the very place of the house of God, among the people of the Lord, in this small community that we have here. But I would say to you, friend, that there is a greater danger. There's a greater attack of Amalek from the inside. And that's when the Amalek of self comes to the forefront. And that's, my friend, where we have to be most on guard, when our old nature, the old flesh, which hates everything that is godly and good, and when that Amalek raises his ugly head, we must be on our guard. There's only one answer. The Amalek of self must die. We join the words of the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul in these statements where Paul said, "I die daily unto myself." And Peter said, "That I might live unto righteousness and to the end everlasting life." Yes, believer, we are in a fierce battle. We have a powerful enemy that is working for our destruction. Notice, please, in the second place, that we must use our spiritual weapon. Moses commanded Joshua to choose out men to fight with Amalek while he went to the top of the hill with the rod of God in his hand. And he lifted up his hands unto the Lord and he interceded for the people of God. And when he did that, Israel prevailed. They were victorious. They were able to advance. Moses held up his hands toward God, and in so doing, that is a great emblem or symbol of prayer. This is our greatest weapon. This spiritual weapon that the Lord has given to us. We have a mighty privilege. We have a mighty privilege of talking to the God of heaven, of coming to Him and pouring out our needs, our fears, our desires, our hopes. We have to come to the Lord with supplication and a prayer. And so as Moses lifted up his hands toward God, he lifted up his hands to his heavenly Father. And he set before God, there is an urgent need. There is a need so pressing that it's a matter of life and death. Lord, the people of God are being attacked by the enemy, by the devil. And my brother and sister, the greatest weapon that we have spiritually to aid ourselves and to aid the body of Christ is to come before the Lord and pray for ourselves and to pray for others. It is a great grace that God gives to us, for He invites us to pray. He encourages us to pray. He commands us to pray. But do you know something? The Lord pleads with us to pray and to call upon Him, and all for our good. As we do call upon His name, the enemy without and the enemy within will be defeated. But we have a problem, don't we? The problem is our weakness. The problem is our flesh does not like spiritual things. And Moses' arms became weary. And when they sunk down, we know, as the story accounts here, that Amalek advanced. And believer, is it not true with us? We sometimes call it the Achilles heel. That place in our body that is a weak place, whereby we are vulnerable. And the weak place that you and I have is the flesh doesn't want to do spiritual things. And when we are weak in our praying, we will become very easily discouraged about what's going on around us. If we neglect seeking the Lord in prayer and reading His Word, then we will be more susceptible to listening to the doubts of the devil as he whispers in our ears. We will be more susceptible of viewing the circumstances of our life, thinking it's hopeless. There's no way out of this. I can't get any better. I can't improve. I can't see victory. And when we have left off praying, we're open to temptation and sin. We're more prone to be bitter with sharp words, given to wrong views of providence, even despising the gracious corrections that the Lord brings to us in our life by His loving hand. And when it's all summed up, Amalek advances. Samuel Chadwick, the commentator, said the one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray. Oh, this is our spiritual weapon. This is the victory that God has promised us through prayer. But thank God, Moses, he was not alone, not up in that hill. He brought two men with him, Aaron and Hur. They were helpers. Aaron was the high priest, ordained by God. And Hur was the enabler, and they were there to assist God's servant. John Gill, the commentator, wrote this. He said, "Aaron the priest may represent Christ, from whose blood righteousness and sacrifice, and from whose advocacy, mediation, and intercession the people of God receive much encouragement and strength in their addresses at the throne of grace. And Hur, who has his name from the word which signifies freedom and liberty, may be the emblem of the Holy Spirit, who helps the saints in prayer under all their infirmities and makes intercession for them by filling their hearts and mouths with arguments, and is a free Spirit to them by whom they are upheld. And where he is, there is liberty. And a soul can come forth in prayer to God and in the exercise of grace and freedom." What a great quotation by God's servant. Yes, we look at Aaron the high priest as a type of our Savior. And what is Christ Jesus doing right now in glory? He is interceding for you, believer. He is holding up one of your arms in prayer, if we could think about it that way. And what do we have? The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, has been given to us as our assistance. He is our enabler. And the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us even in our infirmities. There are some times you don't even know what to pray for. And there are times when you can't pray because your heart is heavy and broken. The Spirit of God knows your heart. And He's able to take those unverbalized sighs and He presents them before the throne of God in glory. He is our helper. Christ, our Redeemer, praying for us. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who is helping us in our praying. How dare we be afraid? How dare we be neglectful in taking hold of this great weapon of our spiritual warfare? Indeed, friend, as we have on the armor of God, each piece must be put on with prayer. And Paul sums it up at the very end. After all the armor pieces are there, he says, praying always. Presses on that very important truth. Through Christ's merit, we have authority. And through the Holy Spirit's power, we have strength to persevere. Friend, know your position today in Christ. And rejoice and be thankful, and let not the devil beat you up. Let him not bring you to the point where Amalek is getting the victory. And while you're praying for yourself, be thoughtful about praying for others. Because they need your prayers. Other believers need your assistance. You need theirs. I need yours. Pray for your pastor. Pray for this pulpit. Pray that God will enable us to serve Him faithfully. Let us see in our lives the world, the flesh, and the devil defeated through prayer, enabling us every day to live in the victory of Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit, He is the one who knows the mind of the Father, for He is God the Spirit, and He is able to enable us. Let us take, dear friends, today this great grace from God. Let us take it seriously. Let us have to say right now before the Lord in our own hearts a prayer of confession for the times we have neglected the Lord and neglected the means He has given to us. And we've tried 1,000 other things to make it through on our own. In conclusion today, we can take great comfort. We can take great comfort because our Lord is praying for us and with us. We will take great comfort, for the Holy Spirit is our divine helper. We will take comfort because our spiritual victory will only be advanced through our praying. You know, our Lord, He did not say that men ought always to plan, or men ought always to organize, or men ought always to administer. But He did say that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Prayer is the Lord's way to advance His work. Do you know why, friend? Because when we are in the spirit and attitude of prayer, we are face to face with our dependence upon the Lord and not on ourselves. And the more that we learn to lean on Him, the more that we will see His blessing at work in our lives. Therefore, let us be encouraged. This God-given spiritual weapon is ours. to freely use for our good and ultimately for God's eternal glory. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, thankful so much for the accounts given in the Scripture that are so vivid. Lord, you've given to us these accounts, illustrations that are so full with spiritual meaning. And I pray we will not miss the message. They'll be stamped upon our heart so that we will learn. Lord, it's not something new to us, but I do pray it will be newly reinforced in our hearts. Draw near to us now today. Remember, Father, any who are not saved now, may they come and taste and see of the goodness of our Savior. Lead them to repentance, we ask. Bless us now. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn today is Approach My Soul, the Mercy Seat, number 675. We'll stand to sing, and if you're not remaining for communion, please feel free to leave after the singing of the first verse.